Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 15. Folks, I have put up with this cold as long as I can. I'm dying. Whew, there went 40 degrees. Man, Acts chapter 15, and we're going to read one verse together here, and we'll turn yet to one other verse. Acts chapter 15, we're going to read verse number 12. Let's read this out loud together in unison. You ready? Acts chapter 15, verse number 12. Ready? Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, just a few pages over, verse number 19. Acts chapter 21, verse number 19. Let's read this one together, also in unison out loud. Ready? And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you tonight. Lord, 5 years ago, a group of people met in a hotel room. We had no idea where we would end up, how we would end up, and who we would add, or how it would look 5 years later, but we're here. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Anoint me tonight as I preach to help these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said this morning, 5 years ago this morning, we met at the Holiday Inn Conference Room. I've been in the ministry a long time, 23-ish years or so, but I had never pastored. I'd been an assistant pastor my whole life. But God had made it very clear, very evident, it was time for us to start a church, start it here, and start it when we started it. And we started at the Holiday Inn. And then we went from the Holiday Inn to the Comfort Inn. And then we went Sunday morning in one, Sunday night in the other, and then sometimes we showed up one and they had us double booked. I baptized in a swimming pool. You name it, we did it, amen. It got exciting. We didn't even have Sunday school for the first 3 months. We just had morning church and evening church. We didn't have a nursery. God help us. But we ended up renting a few more rooms and starting some Sunday school classes and a nursery. Praise God. You know, I love babies, just not in the church service. They have a way of being demon-possessed at that moment. But we went from hotel room to hotel room, and I'd get phone calls 10 minutes before church. Preacher, which hotel are we at? You know, nobody really remembered where we were, but we kept things going. I remember that first Saturday we met, had soul winning. We went soul winning. We met in the parking lot of the hotel for soul winning meetings. When it was 10 degrees and blowing snow, amen, Mr. Lopez. Oh, my soul, it was bad. We'd meet out there. Our meetings didn't last very long because nobody wanted to stay outside in the cold. But we'd go out and we'd go soul winning. And we have seen so many things happen. And may I say this, I cannot even begin to tell you all the miracles we've seen God do. Tonight, I want to take time to declare, as the scripture said twice here in the book of Acts, the wonders, or what God had wrought. What God had wrought. I'm not the church. Grace Baptist Church is Grace Baptist Church. I am a part of this church like you are. But this church is God's. God didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my church. And it wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about himself. He said, this is my church. Grace Baptist Church is not my church. It's God's. I said this morning. I said this the first Sunday that I was here. I'll say it again, probably say it till the day I die. God's the pastor of this church. I'm his assistant. I may be called pastor on earth, but God's pastor in the church. I'm just doing what he tells us to do. We use his words, by the way, the King James Bible, and only the King James Bible. It is the only one that we will use, and we'll use his methods and do it his way. I still believe in old-fashioned soul winning. I still believe in old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. I believe in shouting amen.
Yes, sir.
There you go. You're getting with it. I believe in pounding that pulpit. Amen. Even after my dad had to put a 3/4-inch piece of wood in there because I broke the 1/2-inch. I believe in that. I'm not kidding either. I did. He said, you break that one, we're putting marble up there next. That's not going to happen, all right? I believe in preaching against sin. And if you listen to this morning's sermon, you'll find out why. In order to love, you have to hate, but in order to hate, you have to love. And you'll only hate that which you love, and you love because of you hating something. You can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. And the more you love flowers, the more you hate weeds.
Yes, sir.
The more you love food, the more you hate dieting. Now that's preaching, amen? Bless God, I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. Now wait a minute. God has done so much for our church in the last 5 years. Heaven is going to be populated, and heaven is going to be filled with stories about Grace Baptist Church of Martinsburg and Kearneysville, let me tell you. God has wrought a great work because of Grace Baptist Church. We might not be big, but our influence is bigger than you know. I promise you. We have seen many hundreds of visitors in 5 years. A few weeks ago, Brother Wiley asked me to guess. I can throw a ballpark figure because there's just too many to count, but we've had close to 700 visitors in 5 years. It's just amazing what God has done. We have seen just a little over 3,000 people get saved, either out soul winning, in this church, or funerals that I've preached, or weddings. Weddings and funerals go together, by the way. It's just amazing. We saw more things happen in this church today than many churches will see in an entire year. That's sad. That's sad. We've seen over 100 people baptized in 5 years, which may not be a record, which I don't give a flip about records, but I will tell you something. All of them have been in a horse tank or a swimming pool at a hotel. You got to walk in with 50, 60 people on a Sunday night to baptize, and there's people swimming in the swimming pool saying, folks, we're going to baptize somebody. Y'all can swim down at that end. I'm going to use this end and jump in and baptize. Yeah. It's amazing how many people jump out of the water and just watch you, amen? It happens. And to think about God using that, we've handed out over 105,000 gospel tracts. You understand something? Berkeley County is 44,000 people. That means everybody's gotten 1.5 of those things. By the way, don't put them on the cars in the parking lot that stay here for days and weeks. I got a phone call from a lawyer that said, had some people had to scrape them off their cars. Well, that's their fault, not mine. But told them I would say something. All right, now, good night. You are the trackingest people and the soul-winningest people, and thank God for it. Look what God hath wrought. You realize over 3,000 people will be going to heaven because of what happened in the last 5 years? And that's just from this area. That's not the influence of our church. That's not the missionaries we're supporting. That's not all the pastors we've encouraged and helped along the way who are still seeing people getting saved and getting baptized. Every Sunday for 5 years, I've got a list of, it's grown in the last 5 years, but about 24 pastors that I text early in the morning to encourage every Sunday morning. And we have started something. We've started something. I was texting back and forth with Brother Fugit this week, and Brother Fugit said, he said, Brother Bush, you know that little Sunday morning thing that you do? I said, yes, sir. He said, it's catching around the country. He said, instead of preachers gossiping to each other and complaining to each other, they're now starting to encourage each other. He said, you got something going. I said, I didn't know about it. I'm just trying to be an encouragement to those that I know. Maybe they'll extend it to people they know, and that's what it's all about. But I want to show you three or four things here about what God hath wrought here at Grace Baptist Church. Number one, Brother Barnes did not know what my sermon was. Point number one, we're a hospital for the hurting and the backslidden, not a museum. We're a hospital for the hurting and the backslidden, not a museum. Listen to this. Museums are filled with dead things from the past. Hospitals are full of people that are doing something right now. Hospitals are active today for the health of today and the future. The only hope this area has and the only hope our country has is if we do something today.
Yes, sir.
Sitting on our blessed assurance doing nothing is only going to cause America to keep going backwards. It's going to take somebody to move it forward. We're not a church of used to be's. We're a church of we're doing it.
That's good.
You might not be able to be physically out knocking on doors. We've got some folks that you just can't get out. But I've watched Brother Fred drag an air tank around knocking on doors. You talk about convicting. I've watched him do it. We're supposed to be in the front lines right now. Our door is open to everybody, and our arms are open to everybody. I love what Miss Kim said. How warm and welcoming. We might not be the biggest church, but we better sure be the friendliest church. When I go soul winning, I tell folks, you won't walk through that door and not have a dozen people shake your hand. I promise you. I'll eat your socks if not. I mean, it's going to happen. And I don't ask you to do it. It happens. Can I tell you why? Because we're doing it God's way. We're really excited that you're here. I remember Wita called me. She was looking for the what do you call that plate? What's that? Yeah, the urgent care across the street. Those big words get me, you know. Yeah, she had the chicken pox. Well, she found our church because she had the chicken pox. Bless God, I told her. I said, we're a hospital, but not that kind. Can I tell you something? And she said, well, are you going to be a friendly church? I said, ma'am, I don't even have to announce you're coming. Trust me, you show up, they're going to shake your hand and just accept you as you are. And I didn't lie, did I? Can I tell you something? This church, we're all the same. We're a bunch of common people. You got a simple preacher that puts the peanut butter on the bottom shelf and opens up the lid, amen, so we can all reach in and grab a handful. Our doors are open to everybody for lost people to get saved. I wish you knew how fun it is to see people get saved. I remember the day where I led Sherry's brother to the Lord, Rick, and just a couple weeks later, he died of cancer. Went and preached his funeral, we had his memorial service in here and had about a dozen and a half folks saved that day, family members.
Yes.
Unbelievable. I think about Jimbo's brother that got saved, and I've preached funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral of people and watching them just get saved by the bucket loads. It's amazing what God does. Can I tell you something? This is also, listen to this, this is a place where we're supposed to restore the backslidden. Yes, sir. You all have heard this, but I'm going to say it again. I think it's a crying shame that a guy can come in, 30, 35 years old, lived a wicked, sinful life. You get saved this morning. We say, look at the grace of God. Look what God did. But let one of our kids grow up in church and make a mistake, and we want to kick them out and expose all their sin. You're wicked as hell.
That's right.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I think that's wrong. I believe we ought to be there for our own as much as we are somebody that just got saved.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And you're looking at a preacher that's going to go to his grave preaching that way on purpose.
Amen.
We're supposed to restore them. My Bible says in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean there's not punishments, complications, and things to those that have done wrong. But you ought not look down your pharisaical snoot and say, well, I'm glad that's not mine. Well, I hate to tell you something. You got 9 more fingers and look out.
Yes.
Look out. And just so you know something, nobody's perfect. There's no nail prints there.
Right.
And you don't have any either.
You're right.
Thank God. And by the way, my wife and I have been there. My oldest put us through where the booger man lives for a couple of years. Got expelled from Bible college. Was living like a wild man. For a couple years, I was in the ministry. I had people telling me I ought to resign. Well, he was an adult. I said, no, I'm going to keep doing what's right. I still got 2 kids at home. I wouldn't even let him move back into my house. I was sitting in my tree stand bow hunting one day, Brother Mike. He texted me and I said, son, I love you. He said, I love you too, Dad. And he said, I think I'm about tired of running. And I hit the call button. I said, what do you mean you're tired of running? He said, Dad, I'm tired. I couldn't get out of a tree stand fast enough. I said, where can I meet you? Who in this country? And I met with him, threw my arms around him. And he said, Dad, I need to get right. I said, good. Who in this country do you want to talk to? You named the preacher. He named the preacher. I grabbed a hold of my phone. I pushed the call button and said, here you go. You talk to him. We watched God put that boy's life back together. I watched him drive to Kentucky, meet with Pastor Fugit, begged to get back into Bible college, met with Dr. Jorgensen, begged, met with a couple of the administrators. One of the administrators said he didn't think that he should come back. Now, wait a minute. I thanked that man. My son needed to know not everybody was for him just because he decided he was going to do something. There's consequences. But you know what? 3.5 years later, graduated from Bible college, ordained, pastored church for a little while. Now he's an assistant pastor down in Miami, Florida.
Amen.
God's using him. But can I tell you something? I thank God for a son that's a layman in Brother Fugit's church right now. He worked 16 hours from yesterday afternoon till 7:15 this morning. Got off work at 7:15, went home, showered, changed, grabbed a bite of food, went and worked on a bus route. Had 35 snotty-nosed little bus kids on a bus route this morning and hadn't slept since yesterday afternoon after having worked all night Friday night as well for 12 hours.
Wow.
Thought it was important enough not to go home and go to bed. He went home to go get changed so he could work his bus route. I'm just proud of him. He's not a preacher. But I'm just as proud of him. Now, wait a minute. We're a hospital to restore people. We're a fishnet to catch everybody. We're not angling for the ones that got big wallets. Too many preachers are anglers. They're not fishermen. I preached a whole sermon on this a couple of years ago. When Jesus taught people to fish, he taught them to fish with a net. That means you catch anything and everything. He only told his disciples one time to take a line because they need to pay their taxes. He said, you fish an angle for a certain fish, and when you pull it out, it'll have a coin in its mouth and you can pay your taxes. That was the only time he told them to use a line. Every other time, it was use a net, use a net, use a net. That means you catch them all.
Amen.
We're not supposed to have cliques, complainers, or judges or Pharisees in our church. Don't you dare get in these little groups and start talking about people. I'll bust that up that fast. Promise you. If you can't say it in front of everybody, keep your lips closed. I'm going to say something else. I'm trying to be nice. But it doesn't work very often. Everybody's going to not like something. Okay? You're not going to like the colors I pick for your Sunday school room or the church. You're not going to like what color the tile in the bathroom floor is. It's not what you chose for your house. Well, it's not your house, it's God's. Don't get mad. Say, well, preacher, I don't think you should. Well, when you've built churches and been in the ministry 30 years, then you can tell me what you think. But until then, you just let me help make the decisions, and I'll make good ones. They may not be what you would be at home, but can I tell you something? A church isn't your house, it's God's house. And I happen to know a little bit more about church work than you do, so just trust me on this one. Everybody doing all right? I'm getting all your complaining out before we get there. So we're supposed to be a hospital for the hurting and the backslidden, not a museum. Number two, we're a giving church. I thank God this church is a giving church. In 5 years, this church has seen $1.55 million come through. You got to realize we got a $250,000 of that sitting right there right now with everything we've got out in it already. And we still got a $500,000 loan to go. But may I say something? God has done some amazing things through the giving of this church. We've been supporting missionaries from just a couple months into this thing. We've been helping preachers. God's used us to design gospel tracks, our little 3x5 card track. We have helped, I think, Mrs. Barnes just stepped out, but I think we've helped somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen different churches get started with those. It's amazing. You take all the other things that we've done and help folks. We've never been late on a bill. We've paid our bills, even when the rent and the expenditures were $8,000 and $9,000 a month in the old building. Lord have mercy, help us, Jesus. And there was no way we could do that and buy property and build a building. That's why we had to do what we did this way. I hate this building like you hate this building. But can I tell you something? God used it so we can get going with a new building and be in it in the next 6, 7, 8 months. And hopefully by the end of the week, we'll know where we're at and get all this thing rolling. And hopefully I'll be rolling in dirt here before too long. May I say this? You've been an example to many other churches around the country. I counsel pastors. I counsel a lot of pastors. I've counseled a pastor down in another state. I won't tell you where, but you wouldn't even know him. There's nobody in this room that would know him. I've taught him how to teach his people to tithe. I've taught him how to share things. I've taught him how to get his people going. He had a big day today. He said they had 25 visitors today. That church hadn't seen 25 visitors total in the last 6 years. He's finally got it going, and they're about ready to shut the doors down. They built a building supposed to cost about $900,000. The pastor and another man got another $500,000, not telling anybody in the church, and just did it, and then the pastor left the church. They went way over budget, and what a mess. They're about to lose everything. I've been helping them pare it down and fix this and fix that step by step. And I've told him, you go out there and teach your people to give more by reaching more people. Can I tell you something? Everybody in this room could double your tithe if you go reach somebody and bring them to church and teach them to tithe. Yes. You'd never have to give any more than you give right now. That's scriptural. You don't have to give more money. Just give a little time and bring somebody to church with you. Boy, that's exciting. Amen, preacher. We helped Brother Rick Walters just a few months ago or a couple, 6, 8 weeks ago, and sent him over $2,000 to help him with his medical expenses and stuff. Stage 4 cancer, 45 years old, 6 kids, and dying of cancer. What a story. Our men, we went over and helped Brother Arcola build on his building and try to keep it from falling down a little longer. I preached his son and daughter-in-law's wedding and did their wedding in the church. And there were so many people in the church, and this building is, it's an old bar building that was built in the 1800s. And while we were in the building shifted 18 inches while we were in it. That is no lie. It used to be you could put a ball at the back of the auditorium and it ran to the front. After the wedding, you put the ball in the front and it rolled to the back. I mean, it just did like this. It was not fun, let me tell you. We went over there and put a whole day's work in and shored that thing up to keep it from falling down. And they're trying to get money together to build a building and get out of that thing. Say why? Because it's going to fall down around them. Can I tell you something? This is a giving church. You've been kind to my wife and I and so gracious to us. And I say this and I mean this. You don't have to do things for us. We love doing this. This is what we live for. I live for those phone calls that, preacher, I need help. Preacher, can you help us? I'll never forget. Last Thanksgiving, Kathy, Harry was supposed to have a heart cath done, and I knew he was in bad shape. My wife and I drove to D.C. early in the morning. I thought Harry was going to die before he got to the heart cath lab. I mean, gray and shaky. He couldn't walk the length of this room without stopping and going, and I thought, oh, Lord. Was it five-way or four-way? Five-way bypass surgery. He'd laying in the bed, and I saw the pictures they were showing him, and there were two of them. The arteries were bulging and looked like quarters got stuck in a tube. And the guy said, well, I guess you ought to come back next week after Thanksgiving, and we'll schedule a surgery. I said, hold it right there. I said, can he have surgery tomorrow? I watched Kathy's eyes and Harry's eyes both go like this. I said, you go find out if you can get him in today or tomorrow. And I looked at both of them and I said, the hardest thing I'm going to tell you is this. Don't you dare get out of that bed or you're not going to make it out of here alive. He went into surgery the next morning. Five-way bypass. Matter of fact, when they cut him open, the artery, they had just put him on bypass, and the artery that was bulging started to seep and explode. He was moments from death. Look what God did, though. Look what God has done. Number three, we're about to start construction on our building. Can I tell you something? Look what God has done. Drive by that piece of property and thank God for it. Yes. Drive by that property and pray and ask God to help us with it. We're just days or at most weeks from starting our building. We are. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when and getting all the details worked out. Can I tell you something? God gave us Jehovah Jireh to help us with purchasing that property. Yes. Miraculously. I don't ask anybody for anything. Brother Sarver, you know, you asked Brother Bossy. He was pulling it out of me because I told him, I said, Doc, I don't do this kind of stuff. But what gracious people, good people that helped us. And by the way, God gave us that property at 20% of what everybody else is paying for property right now. $89,000 for 4 acres. Most of the acreage out there is going for $100,000 to $200,000 an acre. Try that one once. God gave us a Christian builder. And I mean a saved, praying man that has saved us tens and tens and probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. The banks are scratching their head at how he can build a building like what we're going to get. They don't understand. But he's not taking as much of his cut as a builder should take because he's doing it for God. Just so you know. That's why if something isn't the way you like it, you come see me and let me talk to him. But that's a good man right there.
Yes, sir.
The neighborhood around our property is awaiting our building and they're excited. Brother Barnes and my dad and I were moving the mailboxes out there. Had a guy stop. He said, hey, you're doing that the hard way with a digging bar. I can go get my tractor and we'll put the auger on. I said, by the time you get down there, I said, I already got one done and I'm almost done with this one. He said, well, anytime you need help, you let me know. He said, what kind of church do you have? I told him. He said, good, church I'm in's dead. He said, as soon as you get this one built, I'll come here. Bless God, come now, amen. Brother Barnes and I stopped yesterday and talked to the neighbors that live right next to the church. And I told them we're just about ready to start building. And I think we're going to reach that young couple because of that. Huh. I've talked to all the neighbors, Mr. Sloniker and those that live in the property next to us. I believe they'll come to at least one of our church services. We had a man that invested money in our church. I worked for him when I was in Bible college back in 1980s. I haven't worked for that man in almost 30 years. Found out we were going through a building project, and he gave us $65,000 to help us with our building project. Say, how does that work? God. The area out there knows of us. Trust me, they know we're out there. Brother Barnes and I were knocking on doors yesterday. There was a couple moving in from Virginia. And I said, Brother Barnes, we're not going to talk long to these folks because they're working. I said, but I handed the guy a track and he said, He said, we're just moving in, obviously. I said, yes, sir. And he said, we'll be looking for a church. He said, we'll have to keep this in mind. He said, we'll come and pay you a visit as soon as we get settled. I said, good, we'd love to have you. You just got to be willing to go out, knock on the doors, and tell people about him. Can I tell you something? Those buildings aren't holy, but they're going to be used to reach people.
Amen.
Somebody's going to write on the wall. Somebody's going to mess up the floor. I'll probably be the first one to write on the wall so you can get mad at me and not the bus kids. It might be Gus. No. Can I tell you something? I want to I mean this. I look forward to the day when I got a whole department full of young people just like him.
Amen.
By the way, that boy right there is going to be my church greeter one of these days. The little boy that the doctors told his mommy and daddy that he'd never be sociable, never say a word, never understand anything, never be able to do anything. Well, that boy loves God. I know something those doctors didn't know. As a matter of fact, I know someone those doctors didn't know, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Look what God has done. Look what God hath wrought. Can I tell you something? There's many more years ahead of us if the Lord tarries. Oh, by the way, we all missed the rapture yesterday. We missed the end of the world yesterday. I heard it was supposed to be around 4 o'clock, so I texted a few folks and say, are you still here? Just for fun. I think when people do, what I think is funny is a day or two before it was supposed to happen, the guy started to retract and say, well, I didn't mean exactly on this day. It might be a little bit later. I'm thinking, yeah, you're done and, you know, your goose is cooked. Now, wait a minute. If the Lord tarries, look what more God could do.
Amen.
Look what more God could do. Let's be thankful for what God has done. Let me ask you this. What are you going to let God use you to do? What is God going to do through you to help someone else? What will God work through you to do at Grace Baptist Church? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We have an awful lot to be thankful for, Grace Baptist Church. God has done many great and wonderful things. Who'd say, preacher? Maybe it was just something in there that I needed reminded of, but I needed that. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Virtually every hand. You may put them down. I think it would be a good thing if many of us would use the altar tonight. If you couldn't make it forward, if you just need to kneel at your chair, you may.